Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the fourth quarter and full year 2016 P.T. Mata-Hari Department Store conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 28th of February, 2017. Our call will be hosted by our CEO, Richard Gibson, and our CFO, Clarissa Joseph. I would now like to hand the conference over to first speaker today, Richard Gibson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our fourth quarter and full year 2016 earnings call. As we do normally, we'll be recording this call, and we'll post it to our website afterwards. When we look at 2016, it's clear that there have been a number of challenges from a macroeconomic standpoint. Slower economic growth, weaker domestic consumption, and an increase in competition, particularly in Jakarta, has put some pressure on our sales growth. Having said that, the strength of our business model, as well as the continued growth in the middle-income segment, continues to give us both resilience and the opportunity to grow our sales. Overall sales were up 8.3% over last year, and we were able to deliver a 5.5% same-store sales growth for the year. We opened nine new stores in the year, including, as some of you are aware, a small Nevada specialty store. We also launched our online store, mataharistore.com, and I'll go into more detail about that later, including giving you some initial reads on its performance. Now I'll turn it over to Clarissa, who will go into our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Richard. Let's start off by turning to page four, which shows some updated macroeconomic data. As Richard mentioned, 2016 did see challenges, primarily centered around an economy that remains relatively weak, along with a lack of any significant uptick in consumer confidence. Having said that, we believe that as we move through the year, this will improve, along with the overall macroeconomic picture across the country as the government's growth initiatives gain more traction. Turning to page six, we can see the highlights of the fourth quarter. Overall sales posted a positive growth of 5.4% to last year, with the same-store sales growth at 2.7%, which was up against a 7.6% same-store sales growth last year. EBITDA came in at 597 billion rupiah, and net income was up 3.2% to 410 billion rupiah. Gross margin dropped 10 basis points in the quarter as we cleared post-Lebaran inventory overstocks, and EBITDA was down 180 basis points on lower same-store sales growth. Page seven shows the highlights of the full year. Total gross sales increased by 8.3% over last year to 17,294 billion. We delivered a 5.5% comp store sales growth. Merchandise gross margins increased to 35.5% of gross sales, up 30 basis points over last year. EBITDA increased by 7.9% over last year to 2,872 billion, and net income increased by 13.4% to 2,020 billion, with margins rising by 60 basis points, driven by lower interest expense. Page eight, you can see the total sales growth of 8.3%. Turning to page nine, you can see our comp store performance of 5.5% for the year. What we see is a low increase in AUR, but still positive unit growth. In terms of the breakdown of the year's same-store sales growth, 3.8% was from an increase in AUR, and 1.6% was from an increase in unit volume. In the fourth quarter, the 2.7% same-store sales growth was comprised of a 1.9% increase in AUR and a 0.8% increase in unit volumes. Turning to page 10, you can see the increase achieved in our merchandise margins. The strength in our DP business with higher margins gave us an overall 30 basis points merchandise margin improvement in the full year 2016. On a total company basis, OPEX was up by 30 basis points for the full year. And on a comp store basis, we saw continuing efficiencies from payroll management and electricity savings. Comp store OPEX as a percentage of gross sales was flat in Q4 and was 50 basis points lower for the full year. In terms of LED relamping, we had completed 130 stores by the end of the year. Page 12 shows our EBITDA performance. Overall EBITDA grew 7.9%, helped by merchandise margin improvements and continued expense management initiatives. Page 13 shows our net income, which increased by 13.4% in the full year 2016, 60 basis points higher, helped by lower interest expenses. Turning to page 14, our inventory days improved to 109 days from Q3, reflecting further improvements in our inventory management initiatives. And our cash on hand was $1,712.8 billion. In 2016, our total CapEx was $357 billion, of which 30% was for new stores, 18% for refurbishment, and the balance for other maintenance capex. This excludes the $95 billion investment made in Matahari Mall. For 2017, we have earmarked around $400 to $500 billion for capex requirements, with a breakdown of 30 to 35% for new stores, 20 to 25% for refurbishment, and the balance for other maintenance capex. This excludes the previously announced $590 billion additional investment in MatahariMall.com, of which $165 billion was paid in January 2017. Again, just to reiterate, this will be LPPF's final investment in Matahari Mall. Turning to the table on page 15, this summarizes our financial performance for the fourth quarter and for the full year 2016 compared to the same period last year. I will now turn it back over to Richard, who will go into more detail on some of our operational updates.
Thank you, Clarissa. So firstly, I wanted to give you a little bit more color around our performance regionally, and also to update you on our consignment business that we discussed last time. If you look at page 17, you can see our same-store sales growth by region. Overall, Greater Jakarta had a 3% growth. Java, excluding Jakarta, an 8.4% growth. And outside of Java, a 4.9% growth. More specifically, Kalimantan, encouragingly, was slightly positive for the year. Sumatra came in line with the overall company performance, while growth in East and West Java outperformed. The consignment issue that we previously highlighted has been addressed. You can see that we were more aggressive in terms of markdowns on the CV side, and by the end of November, we were back to where we needed to be in terms of freshness. In fact, looking at December, and if you look at the first several weeks of this year, we have now seen a narrowing in the performance gap between DP and CV. Having said that, in terms of our current sales so far this year, we're still not seeing signs of an uptick, and we continue to see weaker consumption trends. It is worth noting that we are up against a strong comp growth from last year. The first quarter in 2016 actually came in at a 9.4% comp. Also, given that we will have one less day in February this year, and we will also see Easter move into the second quarter, we currently anticipate our Q1 same-store sales growth to be in the negative single-digit range. If you look at page 18, as mentioned previously, we opened a total of 9 new stores in 2016, slightly over our guidance due to our new Nevada store. This brings our total store count to 151 physical stores and 1 online store. That gives us a total retail space of 989,332 square meters, up 6.2% over last year. Going forward, we will continue to grow our store base. In 2017, we are initially forecasting another 6 to 8 new stores, with 4 to 5 of these in existing malls, and 2 to 3 in malls currently under construction. In terms of sales, on page 19, direct purchase outperformed consignment, representing 37.9% of our business in the fourth quarter, compared to 36.4% in the same period last year. On a full year basis, direct purchase was 37% of the business versus 35.5% last year. In 2017, we have a number of new merchandising initiatives, a few of which I will talk you through. And as we go through the year, we will keep you updated on other initiatives that we're putting in place for later in the year. One key focus for the year will be to increase the exclusive product we carry, whether it be our own private labels or exclusive arrangements with other brands. One initiative we have for our private label brands is to increase our shop-in-shops. As you know, we've had a lot of success in developing our Nevada brand, supported by developing shop-in-shop areas in the store to showcase the brand. In 2017, we'll be extending this to 3 more of our private label brands: Details, St. Ives, and Arrow. Sticking with private label brands, as I mentioned earlier, we've been exploring the idea of developing the Nevada brand into a standalone specialty store. In October, we opened a test store. This is still at a very early stage. However, if it is something that can be proved commercially successful, it could give us an opportunity to develop our number one brand and potentially allow us to open a number of specialty stores. I can't go into too much detail on the other brands at this point. However, I can say that we've been working with Indonesia Fashion Forward, an umbrella organization for emerging local fashion designers, and have recently signed an exclusive agreement with 3 of their top designers to carry their product in our stores. If we look at page 20, yeah, before I finish, I promised you that I would share some information on the initial results we're seeing from MatahariStore.com, which we launched last November. As you know, MatahariStore.com is a domain owned by us and positioned as a dedicated page within MatahariMall.com's infrastructure. This arrangement enables us to market MatahariStore.com directly ourselves to drive traffic, and also allows us to benefit from traffic flowing through from MatahariMall.com's landing page. So far, the response has been very favorable. Our first day of launch, our sales were actually equivalent to the best new store opening day. The sales generated in that first day were actually higher than our entire prior month's online sales. I believe this demonstrates that showcasing our product under one dedicated landing page is definitely resonating with our customers. In terms of statistics, traffic in December alone was around 15.4 million, which is about 500,000 per day. Overall, from launching in November, the overall number of transactions was slightly over 100,000, almost 2,000 per day, with, interestingly enough, just over 3% being picked up at one of our stores. This suggests some definite growing traction with the O2O concept. Also of interest is that 47% of orders were generated from mobile devices. As our initial marketing efforts focused on the Greater Jakarta area, it's not surprising that it accounted for 77% of total sales. We were pleasantly surprised, however, that around 12% of online sales were from outside Java itself. With the focus initially on our private label brands, our direct purchase online sales, not unsurprisingly, accounted for 84% of total sales, with our top five brands accounting for 67% of those. Nevada online sales accounted for 32% of the total DP online sales, which is notably higher compared to the usual 28% contribution to DP offline sales. Of total direct purchase sales, around 21% was from shoes, and actually around 13% was from ladies, which offline is about 9%. Our youth boys and youth girls also came in at a higher mix than in our offline stores. Our consignment brands are now starting to gain traction too, as we begin to engage them directly ourselves to showcase their product on our landing page. These results are, of course, a very early read. However, what we will do is share more information each quarter to give as much transparency as possible. As we move through 2017 and our online sales grow, we will also break out the impact of material elements relating to MatahariStore.com on our earnings calls. So it will be very easy for everybody to understand the business in terms of our online performance versus our core offline stores business. So, in summary, just to wrap up on page 21, our overall sales year-to-date were up 8.3% with a same-store sales growth of 5.5%. Our merchandise margin improved 30 basis points owing to continued strength in direct purchase offerings. Efficiencies in expense management cushioned the impact of a single-digit same-store sales growth, with EBITDA margin only declining by 10 basis points. Our net income grew by 13.4%, with margins improving 60 basis points. Our expansion plans were slightly ahead of expectations, and our pipeline for the future still remains robust. And, as I just mentioned, we've also made steady progress in developing our omni-channel platform. That concludes the presentation part of our call. Now we will open it up to any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We'll now take our first question from Shranziska Vijaja from Dramacquarie. One moment, go ahead.
Hi. Hello, Richard and Clarissa. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions, and the first question is, you mentioned the competition in Jakarta. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this? Second question on consignment. I've noticed that in the fourth quarter, consignment slowed down significantly in comparison to the direct purchase. So when you mentioned earlier that it has recovered, I'm trying to sort of understand what you meant by that. And then thirdly, on the rent, I was wondering how much it typically increases by every year, because I remember that you have a variable component. I think I'll stop there for now. Thanks.
Certainly. So, firstly, as it relates to competition, you know, basically, like I said, we are seeing a little bit of competition in Jakarta. So coming from a couple of areas, firstly, we are seeing a couple of new malls. One example of that would be Central Park, which is near one of our larger stores. That's definitely putting a little bit of pressure on our store sales there. The other thing is that, you know, we are seeing, what's interesting is that when we look at the specialty retail, we're seeing the specialty retail becoming a little bit keener in terms of their price points. They're definitely lowering their prices a little bit, and we're seeing that put a little bit of pressure, particularly on the CV side of the business. Because if you recall, obviously our CV merchandise is typically running at a much higher average unit retail than the direct purchase side of our business.
Mm-hmm.
And in answer to your second question, we're seeing that definitely playing a little bit into Q4. Although we have been, as I said, we have been fairly aggressive in terms of pricing on CV just to clean up the inventory situation post LeBaron. It's probably fair to say, actually, that at the current time, we probably have fresher inventory than we have at this point, at this time last year. So I think we're in a good position. But as I said a little bit earlier, we are seeing continued weakness in the market as we move through the early part of this first quarter. Although, as I did also mention, you know, last year, I mean, our same-store sales growth in January last year was a significant double-digit increase. So we are up against fairly strong comps from last year. As we move through the year, we definitely feel more positive about the direction we're heading in. And we do also think that we will begin to see a little bit of a pickup on the macro side. You know, when we look at the impact on our business, we still believe that the majority of the impact is still coming from that weakness in domestic consumption. And I think you'll see a little bit of that from other competition as well.
Right, right. But did you then do some discounting? You mentioned you did some discounting on the consignment side because of the pricing? Is that
right? That's right, yeah. So basically, you know, obviously we work closely with our consignment vendors. And one of the, you know, the pushes that we've been working on with them was to clean up our post-LeBaron inventory situation. So, in fact, when you look at the, when you analyze the fourth quarter, you will see a slight dip in the consignment margin in that fourth quarter, which
right.
is temporary. Temporary, I might add.
Okay. But then going forward, we should see the consignment growth narrowing with the direct purchase growth. Which you
yes.
mentioned earlier. Yep.
Okay. Yes, that is exactly what we're expecting. We are already seeing a narrowing of that, quite significant narrowing, actually, which we believe is positive, despite the rather weaker backdrop to overall sales.
Hmm. Do you think that the keener prices are related to e-commerce, or that's a little bit far?
You know, that's an excellent question. We have, as you probably can tell from the call, we've been doing a lot of analysis and investigation on the e-commerce side of the business. At this point in time, we do not believe that any of the weakness that we're currently seeing is coming from the online players at all.
Okay. And then on the final question on the rent, just trying to understand sort of the operating leverage concept over here, because inflation grew quite low last year. So I was expecting operating expenses to also increase by a small amount, unless I guess the rent picked up significantly last year.
Yeah. So the way it works is that, as you probably are aware, when we enter into a lease agreement, typically we're entering into a lease agreement for a 10-year primary term with 2 5-year options. So we pretty much lock in the rent for the first 10 years of each lease. On average, when you look at our rent portfolio, the increase in rent from year to year is kind of mid to high single digits.
I see.
Which obviously, which actually reflects the, you know, the challenge really when it comes to property. As you know, obviously rents have been going up for a number of years right now. We still obviously get a great deal on our locations, but nevertheless, if inflation, they're certainly going up higher than the underlying core inflation at 3%. The same actually also goes for, as I'm sure you're aware, also goes for wage growth. 75% of the people in our stores are on minimum wage. And as an example, in 2017, our minimum wage is going up by about just over 9%. So, you know, we do have these pressures. The way we combat those is obviously, you know, we have in place, and actually we will be having some additional initiatives in place. You know, we have some very aggressive programs to, you know, manage our costs like we did with electricity in the last couple of years, that actually has proved to be a very good initiative. But also as it relates to store staffing, you know, just being more productive, but yet trying to maintain our service levels as well. And I think that by doing these initiatives and continually looking at our cost structures, you know, we can, I think, you know, improve the bottom line.
Okay. Thank you very much for the explanation, Richard.
Pleasure.
We'll now take our next question from Divya Gangara from Morgan Stanley.
Hello, hi. Good evening, Richard. Thanks so much for the call. I'll stick to three questions. So the first question I had was on the same-store sales growth trend. Macro aside, you know, we've been used to Matahari being able to actually beat overall, you know, GDP growth or macro conditions in the previous years. I'm just trying to get your sense on, you know, what do you think has driven this convergence where the macro seems to be affecting the same-store sales growth of the company much more now. Are any underlying structural drivers changing, you know, besides the competition in Jakarta that you mentioned? That's the first question. If you can, you know, just give a little bit more outlook on the same-store sales growth for 2017. The second question I had was on the DP margins. DP margins seem to have contracted in the fourth quarter, which is quite a different trend from the first 9 months. Could you help us understand what's the reason for that? And again, you know, how you see DP margins improving, or, you know, is this the best we can get going forward? And the last question is on operating expenses. You touched upon rent and salaries. There are a couple of other smaller ones which have seen a big movement this year, which is utility and marketing spends. Could you give us some sense that how much of the utility savings in 2016 was is sustainable going forward because of the LED initiative, and how much of it can actually go away as electricity tariffs go up? And on marketing spends, that's gone up significantly in the fourth quarter. I guess it's a lot for mataharistore.com, but if you can give us a sense on what we should expect that going forward as well. Thanks.
Yes, certainly. Well, you'll have to help me if I miss some of your questions. But I think, you know, in terms of the same-store sales growth trend, I think, you know, we want to be a little bit cautious in our outlook at the moment. You know, as you know, we did begin to see weakness, you know, back in 2000 and, you know, basically back in 2015. Predominantly, it was centered around the CV side of the business. I think that, you know, Obviously, the larger we get, things can get a little bit more challenging in terms of overall growth. But we really, you know, we spent a lot of time looking at the different trends within the different parts of the business. And we really believe that at this point, it's predominantly due to a weakness in domestic consumption. We think that the domestic consumption, obviously there are links to GDP growth, but we think that the middle-income consumer, we believe, has definitely been under pressure for this last couple of years. You know, obviously, we know, you know, inflation has been low, But we think also the inflation has been low, partly due to a lack of demand as well. I may jump around a little bit in some of your questions. I think that in terms of the marketing spend, yes, we did have a tick up in marketing spend in the fourth quarter. And as you actually, it was due to a couple of reasons. Firstly, we did put some we did put marketing spend behind the initial launch of MatahariStore.com, which was obviously in November. And like I said, we're very happy with the results that we received there. We also were a little bit more promotional as well, I would say, in the fourth quarter generally. As you know, our fourth quarter same-store sales growth was 2.7%. So we deliberately put a little bit more money into marketing, and we also deliberately were a little bit more aggressive in pricing, which you saw, which is why you saw a slight change in terms of the direct purchase margin. So I think that, you know, what we're doing is we're looking at various levers that we can pull to see how we can affect that overall sales growth figure. So I think that that's what you're seeing coming out of that. As it relates to our utility savings, you know, the LED lighting program is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, really. Basically, you know, obviously you get a one-time pickup in terms of the savings as you put these LED lights into place. But obviously that doesn't ratchet down year on year after that, okay? But nevertheless, it does reduce our cost base. I mean, you know, our utility costs, you know, prior to this program were running fairly high, you know, almost equivalent to what we would pay for service charges in our malls. So, again, we're very happy about the progress that we made there.
Right. So if I can just
did I miss any of your questions? You said there were three, but I think there were more.
Okay, no, I'll just follow up with like two, three things that based on what you said, and hopefully that rounds up my questions as well. Is it possible for you to quantify this utility expense saving? Like, you know, we've seen a 50 basis points drop for the full year last year. I mean, would you attribute half of that just to your own LED relamping initiative? Or, I mean, is there some sense you can give us on that or no?
The majority of the improvement that you see has actually come from the LED program.
Okay, perfect. And on the DP margins, I was also trying to fish for a little bit on the outlook because you've been very positive on DP margins going forward over the last 2 years, and you've mentioned that you still see room for those to improve. Would that be different for 2017, given that you would probably use pricing as a lever this year as well?
Actually, that's a very, very good question, Divya. You know, if you look at the full year for 2016, you have to be a little bit careful about taking each individual quarter. But if you look at the full year, direct purchase in the full year of 2016 was up 50 basis points, okay, over 2015. It does actually continue to gain momentum. We do believe that when we look at 2017, that there is a potential opportunity for an improvement in margins, again, predominantly derived from the direct purchase program. But I would be cautious, which is we're not forecast for the full year at this point. We do want to be cautious because, like you said, we do want to maintain that as a possible lever to address any continued weakness in the economy as we move forward. So we're trying to, you know, keep our powder dry, if you like, in a number of different areas, marketing, gross margin, et cetera, pricing, so that we can selectively tap into those as we move through the year.
Right. And just the last bit was on my same-store sales growth outlook. So, you know, like last year you mentioned that you would have thought that 2016 would be better than 2015 because of, you know, various reasons. I mean, sitting today, do you get the sense that, 2017 can be better than 2016? Is there anything changing as such, or you think it's more likely to be similar?
I think it's sitting here today, I think it would be a little premature at this point to give a forecast for the year. I think that we really won't have a good feel until we get through the second quarter. So, as you know, in the second quarter, we will have LeBaron. And I think, obviously, once we have a reading on that, I think that we'll be in a very good position to fine-tune a forecast for the full year, just like we did in 2016.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Richard.
Pleasure.
We'll now take the next question from Sam Santana from Deutsche Bank.
Hello. Hi, Richard. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, just one quick question for me. And first of all, congratulations on the sustained margin improvements despite the macroeconomic challenges in Indonesia. Not that things have been hard against the other retailers as well. So congratulations again. Just one quick question for me is that through our conversations with the mall players, they seem to indicate an increase in the service charge, which is variable on a year-on-year basis. And to some extent, the major shopping malls indicated an increase of about 10 to 15% year-on-year in Jakarta. Is this something that is reflected in Matahari as well in 2017?
Good question. The quick answer to that would be no. If you recall, a little bit earlier, I was talking about the fact that, you know, we have long-term agreements in terms of our real estate space with a 10-year primary with 2 5-year options. Not only do we lock in the rent for the first 10 years, at whatever levels they are, we are also able at that time to basically limit any increase in service charges to effectively to underlying inflation, which, as you know, is actually quite benign currently. So we do not anticipate pressure as it relates to that as we move forward.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Richard.
Pleasure. Nice talking to you.
We'll now take our next question from Salvinia Al-Aripin from HSBC.
Hello. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
So, Richard, thanks so much for your presentation. Quick question from me with regards to the specialty store concept. I know this is early stage at this particular point in time, but how do you see the gross margin evolving going ahead when, as the specialty stores get ramped up? Thank you.
Yeah, well, the first thing I would like to say is that, you know, this is just a test, just a test. We, as you know, Nevada has been voted the number one affordable fashion brand in Indonesia for a few years now. Also, as everyone is aware, specialty is increasing in Indonesia. And we felt that this was an interesting opportunity for us to, test out Nevada, give it a little bit of a run for your money, if you like. But like I said, it is early stages. We're still playing around with the assortment. The good news is that as it relates to our Nevada product, obviously it's directly purchased. Obviously, we own the brand. As a consequence, we are able to achieve, very respectable margins as it relates to sales of Nevada. So I think that, you know, the economic potentials are there. I think that we would have to, like I said, fine-tune the assortment, and I think we probably would potentially explore testing it in a couple of different locations with potentially slightly different demographics and potentially slightly higher traffic levels and with a little bit more competition from other specialty, just to see how it stands up.
Great, thank you. Follow-up question on the direct purchase. Can you sort of outline for us, I know we talked about several things just now, but can you outline for us the game plan going into 2017 and how, you know, we can sort of try to bring the margins back up? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I think how we can bring the margin back up. So I think that, you know, as it relates to consignment, you know, we had a temporary pressure on the consignment margin as it relates to the fourth quarter. Also on direct purchase, as I was saying, we were being a little bit aggressive, I think, you know, in terms of looking at pricing and how that would impact unit sales. As a consequence, which you can see when you analyze the overall comp for the year, our increase on the DP side has been very, very benign as it relates to average unit retail, you know, just over, you know, 3% or so. We feel, as I was mentioning to Divya, I think we feel that we do have further upside, actually, as it relates to our DP margin, building on the 50 basis point improvement that we made this year. But we do want to be a little bit cautious. I think that, you know, in terms of forecasting, I would tend to keep it more flat, but we do think there's a little bit of upside there.
Got it. Thanks.
Pleasure.
We'll now take our next question from Laura Taslim from Mandiri.
Hello. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, I have three questions. First, I want to ask about the inventory days initiative. I know that your fourth quarter inventory days is dropped very significant. May I know what kind of initiative that you have in this fourth quarter? And what is your target inventory days in 2017? And the second one is I want to know your medium strategy with the Matahari Mall investment, whether or not you are planning to sell some of your stakes in mataharimall.com. Can we have any assurance that will secure and because you said that this will be your final investment in mataharimall.com, right? We're just wondering if Matahari Mall later on needs further fundraising, what you guys want to do after that. And may I know the third question is, may I know the color on the first quarter 2017 performance?
So, good questions. Let me address them. So, yes, as you correctly said, we have made progress in terms of our inventory days. You know, there's actually a couple of different reasons for this. You know, firstly, as I said, you know, we're a little bit more aggressive in terms of pricing on the DP side. Obviously, that cleans up our overall direct purchase inventory anyway. But more importantly, the real key here is I'm not sure if you recall, but one of the initiatives that we've been working on throughout the year, and I think that we'll really begin to see the most of the benefits, frankly, as we move into the second half of 2017, has been the enhancements that we've been making to our planning and allocation team. You know, basically, you know, we put a lot of work into developing not only our personnel but also our systems, and essentially, by rolling out this very detailed level planning allocation, we think that it's going to significantly help us in terms of managing our merchandise down to the specific store size and color levels. By doing that, effectively, what we should see is basically an improvement in our overall inventory turn and obviously, therefore, a reduction in our inventory days. So we will continue to work on that. Having said that, as it relates to a target, you know, we think that, you know, somewhere around, frankly, somewhere around 115, 120 days is actually okay for us. Now, the more we can improve it, obviously, the better it is. But I think we feel that at the moment we're in a comfortable position. You know, obviously, one needs to be wary about running into too many out of stock situations. So, you know, it's a balance. So we'll have to manage that. As it relates to Matahari-Mool.com, okay. Yeah. So, firstly, you know, we're obviously very happy with our investment in Matahari-Mool.com. We reiterated, I think, on the call today, I think fairly firmly, that this will be our last investment in Matahari-Mool. So, you know, obviously Matahari-Mool may in the future, you know, raise additional funds, have additional rounds of investment, but we will not be participating in any future investment rounds. Yeah? So okay. If you recall, the reason why we made our additional investment of the $590 billion is because we wanted to, if you like, continue to be a heavy influencer and partner with Matahari-Mool.com. So we can get a lot of benefits from that. And I think that one good example of that is us being able to set up our own landing page. And basically, we were able to leverage all of their internal resources to enable us to accomplish that, which would have been somewhat challenging had we tried to do it on our own. We invested that amount because, you know, we're obviously, you know, if we... Originally, we started off with a 10% stake in Matahari-Mool. This increases it, obviously, but we believe that, you know, if there are further rounds of investment, we think that our stake could very rapidly come back down to that level or even below. So we just wanted to look forward for the next couple of years to, you know, at least be able to maintain that seat at the table, if you like, in terms of getting their assistance where we need it. As you probably have read, you know, Mitsui recently led a round of investment in the company that values the company obviously at a quite a bit higher than the effective valuation of our investment. So, you know, we're happy to stick with what we've got. And obviously, we hope that one day in the future, you never know, Matahari-Mool could expand and go from strength to strength, which we believe that it will, there may or may not be opportunities to reduce or divest one stake in the future. I think we just have to wait to see how it plays out.
Okay, good. And do you have any color on the first quarter 2017 performance?
Not at the moment, not beyond the indication that we've given you, which is that, you know, we're anticipating a negative single-digit same-store sales growth in the first quarter, driven, frankly, predominantly driven by the fact we're up against such strong comps last year. But also, like I said, we're still seeing some weakness in the consumer at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
You also have to remember, of course, that Easter, which is not insignificant, moving from March into April and losing a whole day out of February also has quite an impact.
Yep, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Aditya Srinath from JP Morgan.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for the opportunity for questions. I actually have a couple of questions. The first one is really straightforward. I think on slide 13, if you go back to slide 13 of the presentation, you have something called comparable net income. Could you just, you know, tell us exactly what comparable net income is? That's number one. The second is that we've spent some time talking about Matahari-Mool.com. Now, one of the things that your comments earlier showed is there's a debate between this O2O model, as you described it, versus marketplaces that seem to be struggling just generally in the Asian space right now. So what I'd like to know is that, one, could you compare what your sales through your landing page are compared to what you were doing through Matahari Mall.com before the landing page came in? That's number one. Just to give us a sense of is it operating at the same level as they were doing a month, or is it like a single store and so on? And the second is this. Does your shareholder agreement, you talked about, you know, valuation going up, but in case, you know, marketplaces start to flounder, is that $590 billion that you're putting in fixed, or is there anything that says that if future rounds are at lower valuations or someone else does a mark-to-market down of their valuation of Matahari.mall, your valuation will come down, or you'll get a larger stake for the amount you're putting? Do you have any kind of ratchet down protection in your investments?
Yeah. So, again, I'll try and answer your questions. Tell me if I've missed anything. Firstly, on slide 13, as it relates to the comparable net income and the reported net income, that's actually something that we put in place when we were reporting our FY14 and 15 results. And basically, it relates to the fact that in 2014, we had a one-off tax settlement as it relates to a tax audit that went back multiple years. So what we did was we restated it to adjust for that so that we would be able to present a more accurate picture of our results on our earnings call. Obviously, you know, going forwards, that's not relevant anymore. So
yep.
But that explains that. And I think we talked about that before in a couple of earlier calls. So if
yep.
you need any additional clarification on that, we're very happy to provide it. You know, as it relates to sales before the landing page versus the sales after the landing page, you know, we're trying to avoid giving too much information away because we don't want you to draw conclusions from what is a very small data point at the moment. Having said that, I think I mentioned that actually on the first day that we had our launch, which is actually when we launched the landing page, our sales in that one day were higher than the previous month. So now, again, it's not apples to apples because, as we also mentioned, we did put marketing behind it as well. So you've got to be careful with the conclusions you draw. Having said that, we firmly believe, this is, I think, quite important, we firmly believe that having Matahari as the landing page where a customer can go and they know that they can find all of the products that they can find in a Matahari department store, we think that's very, very compelling for the customer. So I think that's very important. I think that the other piece, which is actually, I think, again, we won't break out the figures, but we get traffic coming from to our landing page, obviously, not only when we market MatahariStore.com directly, but also we also get significant traffic coming from MatahariMall.com. Now, if you recall, MatahariMall.com is a marketplace model, and as such, typically generates much, much higher traffic than a dedicated specialty website. So if you like, we get the best of both worlds. As it relates to the investment held on the balance sheet, obviously at the moment we have it on there at cost. Currently, obviously, the cost, as I mentioned, is quite significantly below the latest, effectively the latest round valuation. We would not mark to market. We're not going to mark it up. If, however, a future funding round would be at a lower amount, then obviously we would have to mark it down. That's the way that we're handling that in accordance with GAAP as well. Did I answer all your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Thanks.
We'll now take our next question from Steve Uwanda from United Overseas Bank.
Hi, is it my line?
Hello, yes it is.
Okay, hi. First of all, just an administrative question. I saw the OPEX in fourth quarter is rising a little bit higher than expected. Say rent is up 12%, salary is up 18%, but on Q-on-Q relatively stable. But operational service is up about, it nearly doubles, and that is roughly about maybe 8% of your earnings. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? That's my first question. Second question would actually be on the specialty store. How many stores do you have in the first tier city, meaning the capitals of Indonesia? The reason I'm asking this question is specialty store. You mentioned about specialty store. Uniqlo, HMMs, they're here. They are the global brand names, and definitely as Indonesian consumer, based on our experience, would actually go for the global brand name if the price point is correct. You're worried on this. And have you create some kind of mitigation factors that could actually counter this? Because my shopping experience in the specialty store, even in the city of Jakarta, as you mentioned, there are competition rising in the city of Jakarta. Will it spread? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Can you share your view? What's the quote unquote mitigating move that you're going to make, et cetera, et cetera? Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll talk about OPEX afterwards, but I think I think as it relates to specialties, firstly, just to clarify, we only have one specialty store, which was the test store that we opened for Nevada. So, we only have one. It's just, as I was mentioning earlier, we're just testing the concept out, just to test, if you like, a little bit in terms of the strength of the Nevada brand. I think as it relates to specialty stores generally, and they've been with us quite a while, but they are beginning to expand, I think the key thing to remember is that we are typically priced probably at least 20-25% lower than general specialty store pricing. So we're very, very competitive when it comes to the product we offer versus specialty retail. Predominantly because actually, 80%+ of our merchandise is actually locally sourced. Now, that having been said, as the specialty stores grow, if they start moving their price points down significantly, then there is an opportunity for overlap in terms of price bands, particularly at the higher end of the consignment piece of our merchandise. So, I think that the bottom line is that we specifically target the middle income segment. Obviously, we're going to see people trying to nibble away at the bottom end in terms of our price points, and we're also going to see people nibble away at the top end of our price points as well. That's just the reality of competition. The middle income segment obviously is the real prize. What we will continue to do is do what we do today, strive to do it a lot better. But also begin to focus on, differentiation and other things, like I was talking earlier, in terms of exclusivity, because that really does give us a powerful advantage, as we see from our private label brands. And that becomes increasingly important, of course, as one moves into e-commerce, which, as we've said, as we move forward in the years to come, is going to be an increasing, part of the landscape, not least because the ability for offline retailers to expand is challenging, just given the availability of infrastructure and real estate. You know, there are so many underserved communities out there that we believe can be offered our product by going online. So we think that's pretty exciting. You know, as it relates to OPEX, we won't get into the details sort of line by line. When you look at the overall OPEX as a percent of sales in 15 versus 16, you can see that it's very, very similar. It is fractionally more in Q4 of 16. That's partly driven by a little bit of an increase in marketing spend for the reasons I talked about earlier. In addition to that, of course, you also have to remember that we have a lot more stores in the fourth quarter of 2016 versus 2015. But if you have any specific, more detailed questions, feel free to email us, and then we'll be able to address it.
Okay, thank you.
Terrific. I think we probably only have time for maybe one more question, maybe two.
We'll now take our next question from Shadari Sumit from Zaba Capital.
Yeah, hi Richard. Just one question on your dividend policy and the use of cash. If you could walk us through how are you thinking about, the use of cash and considering, at least where the valuations are for your stock, and partly because of macro, partly because of the recent quarterly numbers and so on, would you even consider a buyback considering the cash balances that you have?
I think that, I think we may have mentioned this a little bit on our last call, but, currently, we are paying out, if you look at 2000, if you look at this year, we're paying out 70% of our earnings as our dividend. We believe that we will continue with that, obviously subject to our AGM and the shareholders. We, as you said, we generate strong cash flow, which is obviously always a good position to be in. We think that, we do not have any plans to buy back stock. Where we see the best use of our funds, frankly, is opening new stores. You're probably familiar with our financial model. We get terrific returns on our new stores. To the extent that we're able to open more stores, which is definitely a possibility in 2017, we would certainly take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the only reason why I wanted to probe a bit more on that point was that in 2016, despite you opening higher than what you typically guide for the number of stores, you still had your cash balances go up quite handsomely. So it seems that your cash flows are enough to fund your expansion plan and the dividend, and you still have surpluses, it seems, considering the past track record at least.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, if you look at the new, I mean, there's always a little bit of, seasonality, when you look at our year-end results, obviously, because, Christmas is typically a strong period for us. Look, I think at the end of the day, we try to manage the business as prudently as possible. But I think it's always useful to, always an advantage to have a little bit of cash on hand. We also have our loan facility available to us as well, just in case new opportunities come up. We've always indicated that we would love to open more stores than we currently have at the moment. It's just really a question of waiting to see what opportunities come up.
Understood. Thank you.
Pleasure. Okay, I think that maybe one more question, and then I think we will have to wrap up the call.
We will now.
Or if there are no more questions, we can wrap up now.
Yes, we do have another question. We'll take our next question from
our final question.
Hi, Richard, Robert here. Thank you for taking the call.
No problem.
Just one question. On your mataristore.com, you're selling both direct purchase and consignment. When you sell the consignment, do you get the same margins as your offline stores? Can you give us a little bit more color on that? Thank you.
Actually, we're not able to give more color on that. So for obvious reasons, you know, just from a competitive standpoint. I think, though, you do raise an interesting point, is that, you know, it is our goal to have as much of our direct purchase product as possible available online, but also, and you have probably seen this expanding fairly rapidly, and we anticipate this expanding even further as we move through the next few months. We want to get the full breadth of as many of our CV vendors onto the site as well. The ultimate objective, of course, is that you know, what you see on the site is what you could get in our very, very largest store. We think that's important for the customer experience, and I think that the more we move in that direction, frankly, I think that the more compelling the site becomes to shop.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Ladies and gentlemen,
so I think I think that would have been our last question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect.